If you try to describe what God is like, it can be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently described God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We're going to look at this last characteristic of God. It's the Hebrew word emet, which can be translated as faithfulness or even truth. It's related to another word you've probably heard before, amen, which is an untranslated Hebrew expression meaning that's truth. So emet can mean truth, and it can refer to correct ideas or concepts. This is because emet has to do with stability and reliability, like when Moses holds up his hands for hours to defeat Israel's enemies, the Amalekites. His friends put a rock under him and support his hands so that his hands will remain emet, or steady. When emet is used of people, it describes reliable and stable character, or trustworthiness. Like when Moses appoints leaders in Israel, they're to be people of emet, people who are trustworthy, who won't take bribes or distort justice. So to say that God is full of emet doesn't just mean that God tells the truth or stands for truth. It means that God is faithful and trustworthy. This is why Moses calls God a rock, saying that he's faithful, just, and upright. He's saying that he can trust God to be consistent to his character. And the Hebrew word for trust is actually the verb form of the word emet. It's he'emin. It can be translated as to believe or to have faith, but most basically it means to consider someone trustworthy or to trust. The first person we meet in the Bible who considers God to be trustworthy is Abraham. God makes a promise that Abraham and his wife Sarah will have a huge family, and that through them, all nations will experience God's blessing. But Abraham and Sarah are really, really old, and they've never been able to have any children. And yet, in the face of these challenges, Abraham he'emins God. He considers God trustworthy to open a way forward. And God does show emet to Abraham and Sarah. In just four generations, their descendants form a whole nation called Israel. And God invites Israel into a trusting and faithful relationship. And when God leads them out of slavery in Egypt, Israel he'emins in God. They trust and rely on him. But when they come to the land God promised to Abraham, and they find out it's filled with giant cities protected by giants, their trust in God's emet fails. But eventually, we meet an Israelite who does trust God in the face of giants. It's David. He yells at the giant, "You come with a sword and a spear, but I come with the name of the God of Israel." David consistently relies on God. In fact, it said that David walked in emet before God. So David considers God to be faithful and responds with faithfulness. This is why God promises to raise up a faithful descendant of David, whose kingdom will endure forever, or in Hebrew, have emet. This faithful king will become the source of trust and stability for others forever. But when the kingdom later collapses, the Israelites find themselves without a home and without a king. And they cry out, "Oh God, where is your loyal love that you swore to David in your emet?" They're accusing God of abandoning his promises to Abraham and to David. Is God trustworthy? Is he faithful after all? The first line of the New Testament is an answer to that question. This is the lineage of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, through Jesus, God fulfills his promises. Or as Paul says, Jesus came on behalf of God's faithfulness. He is the faithful king whose kingdom will endure forever and who invites all nations to trust God. Now, trusting anyone is risky. It's hard to know if anyone is really full of emet. But the biblical story portrays a God who's been faithful all along and whose promises were fulfilled in the story of Jesus. And so as we look out at the obstacles facing us and our world, we're invited to take that same risk and join Abraham, David, and the people of God in trusting that God is overflowing with faithfulness.
So this is actually our sixth lesson in this series of the character of God. We reminded you and told you again and again that the setting for this series is that when Moses is on the mountain receiving the details of God's covenant. Now, this is the first time that God gave them the tablets. Even while God was promising to be with them, they were at the base of the mountain, prostituting themselves, engaging in all sorts of things. And so God is angry. Moses is frustrated. Moses goes down and they catch them in the act. The Bible reports this as revelry and corrupt behavior. They're worshiping other gods. And so God is ready to give up on them. And Moses says, no, we would be lost without you. Go with us. And Moses begs God, show me your glory so that I will know who it is that's going with us. Not that God hadn't done enough, but God says, yes, I'll show you even more than what I've shown you before. And so we've read it multiple times over the last few weeks, but let me go right to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. Moses is now on the mountain again. God says, I'm going to put you in this special place, and here's what's going to happen. I'll pass by and you'll see my glory. And then God reveals to him his name. The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him. And it was a special place on the mountain. And he proclaimed his name, the Lord. And verse 6 says, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Let me just review really quick. God had declared that he was a compassionate God. When we first looked at these, you might have thought, how in the world can you do six series out of one phrase that sounds like it's just repeating itself? Compassion and love and grace. But yet we found that they're different because God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God reiterates it over and over again that he is a compassionate God. And then God declares himself as gracious. And we, back a few weeks ago, we defined grace this way, that it is a gift, right? And it's God reaching down. That was the R in the word grace. God comes to us. You may think that you came to him, but you didn't think those thoughts until he first came to you. That's God reaching and accepting you just as the way you are. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then C is caring for us enough to change us. And then, of course, E is the fact that when you experience this graciousness, this gift of God, that it encourages our lives for today and for the future, and it gives us a purpose for praise. And then God says he is slow to anger. And we compare this to the fact that we are quick to anger and lacking in love. But God says, I am slow to anger and abounding in love. And we talked about the steadfast love. And we used the Hebrew word quite a bit that Sunday when we talked about his chesed. Because it's a little bit different and a lot more in-depth and rich than just our word love. But the idea is that this love endures forever. And the point that I was trying to make is that even when we don't understand, because there will be times that we don't understand, we can always trust that God is acting toward us with love. And then we come to this phrase that God declares that he's faithful. It sounds much similar to compassionate than love and grace, but it is different. I don't know if any of you remember a number of years ago, 40 years ago, I don't know when it started, there was a $10,000 pyramid, and then there was some increase in the cost of living, and so they made it the $25,000 pyramid. It wasn't long before it was the $50,000 pyramid, and I think on TV land today, you can still watch the $100,000 pyramid. Do you remember how it worked? There was someone sitting in one chair, someone else in the other chair, was the big panel of pyramid boxes behind, and the one person would give a clue while the other person was trying to figure out what they all had in common. Is it coming back to you? Okay. It's probably been a few years since I've seen even the reruns, and maybe they're out there. I don't know. But then the person who's trying to guess what they have, they don't really form it as a question, right? Not like Jeopardy, what is, you know? But they do say it as a statement that sounds like a question because they're unsure. Here's, let me give you an example. If I said door, windshield, wipers, right? Seats, steering wheel, then the person might shout out parts of a car, right? Or they might shout out parts of a car. You know, they're not sure. But if it beep, you know, if they get it right, okay? How about this? Mattress, hammock, recliner, a floor. Yesterday I slept in a school bus, right? Things you sleep in or on, right? I had to sleep in a school bus because we were gone for a really long time yesterday. But what if I said this? See if you get this. Stock market, the weather, gas prices, seasons, yeah, fashion, things that change. There is something you cannot put in that list, and that is God. Because God never changes, and that's what it means to be faithful. You can count on His character not to change. Why in the world would God even feel it necessary to tell the people that He's faithful, that He doesn't change? That's because all these Egyptian gods that they were used to, they couldn't be counted on. They were gods that got moody. They were gods that got angry. They were gods that changed. They were gods that had to be appeased. As a matter of fact, they weren't any gods at all, but you get the point. But God says, I am not like that. I am a faithful God, and I will continue to act towards you in the ways that I've declared that I would. And that's what it means to be faithful. But it's only part of what it means to be faithful. The video did a really good job at that, showing you that this original word, this Hebrew word, emet, that's translated faithful, another way to translate it is truth. And you may have caught it, but the word I like the best is reliable. In other words, if something is faithful and true, it's reliable, right? We all want things that are reliable. Our men's group meets every Thursday morning. We're pretty reliable, but we keep changing our venue. But we've been at the church now for a couple of years. But we were at Burger King for a while and Arby's for a while, and we were at the park for a while. But one time a few years ago, about 5 years ago, we were at Burger King, and this other guy pulls up in a shiny Honda Odyssey van with a for sale sign on the side. I'd always thought we needed a Honda Odyssey, so I ran out there and making a deal right there in the Burger King parking lot. And I discovered in the conversation that this was a 10-year-old vehicle. So you're like, well, first question you asked, what? Why are you selling it, and is it reliable? Well, I found out that this gentleman had the means to buy his wife a vehicle every 10 years. That's just what they did. They just bought a vehicle, they ran it for 10 years, and at the end of 10 years, no matter what was up, time to get a new one. That was their life plan, right? And so I could tell that it had been well maintained. I liked the look and the comfort. I was happy with the cost. And so then I took it for a test drive, and immediately I feel this weird sensation when it shifts gears. And so I said to him, what's wrong with the transmission? And he said, there's nothing wrong with the transmission. He said, this is the way that transmission is. He said, from the first time I've rolled it off the lot when it was new 10 years ago, he said, it's always done this. He said, I've even taken it back. They assure me this is the way. It is just something new that Honda did. I don't like it. He didn't like it. And then I'm like, well, I've had a couple cars where the transmission goes bad, and you don't want to do that. So I had a kind of a dilemma. What do we do here? Well, first of all, I could tell that this man took care of this vehicle. Secondly, I could tell based on where he lived, what he did for a living, how he kept the vehicle, and all this kind of stuff, that he seemed reliable. And so I took the risk. And we've been driving it for 5 years, and I still don't like the way it shifts. But we've been across states, we've been to Michigan multiple times, we've been all over, and now that it's getting a little bit older, it's hauling my tools and all sorts of things. But it's reliable. It's faithful, right? because it can be counted on. And when God declares to Moses that he's reliable, I think one of the things that we should hear is this. God is saying, I can be trusted. Can be trusted. You see, God did not need to say it because he needed to hear it. He needed to say it so that we would hear it. Because what the people were doing was not trusting. Even while God was declaring to himself that he would be faithful, they were down at the base of the mountain doing anything but being faithful. You can read it, and it goes something like this. We saw the miracles in Egypt, but we're not sure it was you. We saw how you delivered us from Pharaoh's army at the sea, but we're doubting your reliability. We aren't even sure if it was you. We're going to craft a God in the image that we want, define him as we want, carry him as we want, wherever we want. And when you see that, you realize that one of the most egregious things that you can say to God is, I don't trust you. And yet, how many of us are guilty? I should say us, because I'm trying to be a part of that, because I am part of that. God says, I am compassionate. And we say, really? I don't see it. If you were really compassionate, you would do it my way. Because I don't trust your way. God says, I'm gracious. He says, I'll show mercy to who I'll show mercy and compassion to who I want. And I used to read that, and I don't know why. It's the wrong way to read it. But I always read it as, I'll show compassion to someone, and I'll show my anger to someone else. You know, that's not what he says. He says, I'll be compassionate, and I'll show mercy. They're both good. And God says, I'm that way. And we say, but don't be gracious to those people. They don't deserve it. We don't like your way. God says, I'm slow to anger. And we say, really? And we jump on the bandwagon. Well, you look pretty angry in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, you got all soft on us. Why in the world do you let bad people succeed? What are we saying? We don't trust your way. God says, I'm abounding in steadfast love. And we say, why is there so much pain in the world? Why this? Why that? And what we're really saying is, we don't trust you. But God has proven himself over and over in history of the Bible and in our own lives, and yet we continue to be like the Israelites, fashioning God into our image, trying to manipulate him to fit our agendas, our timetable, instead of trusting him. And so what I want us to do here today is to solidly revisit this idea that if we've forgotten, to remind ourselves that God can be trusted. And the whole time, while we are unfaithful to him, he continues to be faithful to us. It's who he is. That's what he declared himself to be. I don't know the exact year. I'm guessing it was about 1995. My wife and I were married. We were in our second location. I was doing some studies at Christ Hospital in Cincinnati as part of my master's degree and learning how to be a chaplain. And in one of those training sessions and devotional times we were having as a group, our leader introduced us to a recording, a recent recording, a VHS recording of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And it set well because it met us where we were. We were trying to have a family and it wasn't working out, and we were processing that and the losses of the miscarriages. And this song, I think, helped And I'm going to try to sing it, and I want you to go look it up. But it goes something like this. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. And when my strength was all gone, and when my heart had no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. And what I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. And when my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my God, he was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, even then, God was faithful to me. Every time I come back to him, he is waiting with open arms, and I see once again, he's been faithful. Faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, he's been faithful, faithful to me. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, he's been faithful, faithful to me. We're not through here today, but let's pray. God, help us that when you say you are faithful, when you say that you will not change, help us to know that you keep your promises. Amen. You can trust the one who is trustworthy. You can rely on the one who is reliable. And that is what God was saying when he said, I am faithful. He said this, I am going to be faithful to be compassionate. I am going to be faithful. I will not change, and I will be gracious. I will always be faithful to be slow to anger. And I will always be faithful to be loving. This whole account that's happening here is an example or an account or a record of the Israelites' journey with God. And to this point, they weren't doing very well. They were failing the test. And God says this, I will be faithful to you, just follow me. And in this conversation about God's reliability, there's another aspect of this word emet, and it is about the reliability of the way of God. In other words, it has in it an understanding that there is a path, a reliable path. Let me give you an example of where it shows up all through the scripture, but let me give you an example. You know the story of Abraham. And God tells his Abraham tells his servant to go to the homeland and find a reliable wife, but find a wife for his son Isaac. And he says, here's the deal though. She's got not only to be from the homeland, but Isaac's not going to go there. She's got to come here. And so in, I believe it's Genesis chapter 24, Abraham sends out the servant goes, the servant prays, the servant says, this is the kind of woman we're looking for, she's got to be helpful with the camels and all that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, they stop in this location, and Rebecca comes out. You know the story, right? Beautiful story about how God is faithful to fulfill what he told Abraham to do. And then the question to Rebecca, can you go back? Will you come back? Of course she does. And here's what the servant says in Genesis 24, verse 48. I bowed down and I worshiped the Lord and I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road. This is not a reference to Main Street or Hendrick Street or Wilson Street or Elm Street. This is a reference to the reliable path of God. I'm going to give you an example. In 2015, 16, and 17, I enjoyed multiple trips each summer to the Grand Canyon. It's 277 miles long. It's 18 miles wide at its widest point. If you do the math, that's about 1,900 square miles of 1.2 million acres. So the last thing you want to do is get lost in the Grand Canyon. Over the years, since we've been counting, there's been about 900 deaths, averages about 12 a year. And in 2021, it was higher than normal with approximate 20. And so, without going into all the details, the hike that we did each year, same hike, from the north side to the south side, and it's this simple. Put one foot in front of the other and stay on the path. That's all there was to it. Now, of course, it was more difficult than that because you had steep hills and, you know, possible ledges and you know, whatever else you might encounter. And the first year was quite nerve-wracking. I've told many of you the story before about my brother's ordeal, about died with his throat tightening up. And the second year, I took my two kids back, Jacqueline and Evan. Third year, Josh and I did it in a little bit faster pace, all in one day. And each of those had their challenges. But here's what made it doable. It was a reliable path. All you had to do was stay on the path. And because some people had been before me and told me about it, and they were reliable people, now I had a double reliable. Just listen to what they say, stay on the path, and here's what happens, okay? And you can relate to this, to the reliable path of God. When you know the way is reliable, it increases your faith. Or it decreases the amount of faith you need to have. It's the same, right? Does that make sense? Because you're not walking out into blindness, but you still have to have some faith. Life journey is always faith, but it doesn't take as much faith, or maybe it increases your faith. However, it strengthens your faith. Just stay on the path. Listen to the reliable way. And it decreases your worry. Right, we still had some anxiety because we'd never done it before and things happened, but it really decreases your worry because you know that path has to end somewhere, sometime. Even though it got 120 degrees and all that good stuff. When Josh and I went, they were advertising that their water was out. And it might as well have been out because it was nasty hot water. But so there's challenges. But it decreases your worry because you know it's a reliable path. And it increases your peace. The peace that you can have even in the midst of the challenges comes because you know that it's a reliable path and it increases your joy. The joy in the journey when you know that you're on the right road. And Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth. Hear it? The faithful one. And life. I am reliable. God is reliable. You can trust his way. It is faithful and true. I didn't know I went back this far, but when I graduated from high school, Stephen Curtis Chapman released his first album. At that time, he was just getting started, of course. But he was already showing that he had skills and a heart for the Lord. He was 25 at the time. He would later marry and write many songs, release 25 albums, 5 Grammy Awards, almost 60 Dove Association Awards, 7 Artist of the Year Dove Awards. But in 2008, May 21, 2008, while his whole family was home, they had just celebrated one of their oldest daughter's engagements just hours before, and one of the older brothers had left to go try out for a high school play, I think. And when he came home, the whole family was still celebrating in the yard and all this kind of stuff. Some of them were in the house, and he was driving the family SUV up the long drive, and his little 5-year-old sister was in the yard with the other siblings. She was so excited to go see her brother that she rushed into the drive, the path of the vehicle. And he didn't see her. And she was struck and was pronounced dead later that day. Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife have talked much about it. And one of the things that is brutally honest, and Stephen Curtis Chapman, at the very least, was ready to leave the music industry. How can you sing anymore? He would, like all of us, he had struggled finding the purpose in the tragedy. But the song off of his first album, helped him through. And so I want to close this 6-week series with this song because I think it has a perfect line in it, and it is this: in every situation, he's proved his love to me. But when I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. And he doesn't just say it to Moses, he says it to you and I. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. So I hope you've received something from this series, but really what I want most is that somewhere in this conversation, whether you've heard them all or just some, or you want to go back and listen to them, that somewhere your spirit, soul, and body are different because you've experienced what Moses experienced. And that was the glory of God. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, we've referred to it a little bit, but not much. It says this: when Moses came down from the mountain with the 2 tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. I hope and pray that the time that we have had with the Lord, with his self-revelation to us, has changed us in some way. Let's listen to this song and then be dismissed with prayer.
There's one song that I've always said, well, I'll put it like this. If I had just enough breath left in my lungs, if I was told, okay, you can sing one more song, of all the ones you've ever written, what would it be? And it's a song, immediately I could answer that with the song that I wrote. It was on my very first album, interestingly enough, and it's just carried all through the years. That just simply says, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Y'all want to hear him sing about the faithful and true?
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. heart rejoices when I read the promise. And there's a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and in every situation He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful and true.
Amen.
Would you stand with us this morning? Father, we thank You that You are faithful and true. May, as we leave here today, we know that You go before us and behind us. And we thank You for being faithful to reveal Yourself to us. And may now we live so close to You that others see that we are different, because we are on the right road, a reliable road with You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.